shorts and bag.
That's a nasty looking finger, lady.
You got the bait?
What? No.
Hey, I got your fertilizer.
We made you.
Welcome back, interweb friends. This is the Stop the Movie Podcast. Hollywood makes bad movies. We make fun of them, and we watch for rockets. I'm Alex Dunbar. I'm joined this week for the beginning of our very special Batman v. Superman Dawn of Justice episode. I'm joined by Nick Newert. A broken Nick Newert.
I'm saving my energy. Don't worry.
Jack Estabrook.
We'll get back to me.
Yes!
Who has more energy for this? I feel like you are Bane and you just broke like Nick over your knee.
This is a Batman movie you got. So you have to live with it.
Man,
we have broken your spirit.
I wish Tom Hardy was in this.
Cody Wolf.
Why did you say that name?
And Christy Smorrow, who we will get into this later. And Christy actually really took one for the team.
I did.
And watched the extended cut as well.
No one asked me to. We just went for that.
Nobody asked me to, but I figured I was really hoping that maybe the extended cut would make everything make sense. And I could come in and say, guys, it wasn't that bad. No, that's not what happened.
Yeah. There really are heroes out there.
Yeah.
They don't all wear capes.
Let's go right
but
into that.
But if you wear a cape, you're a friend of Martha's son.
That's right. And she instantly just identifies you as a friend. Let's go into this. This is one of the most hated movies of this year, which is kind of crazy considering the effort that Warner Brothers put into it.
I'm surprised it wasn't more hated, actually, because I heard like good reviews, too. That shocks me.
I was a little surprised that this wasn't hated.
It was terrible.
Even more. This was horrendous. And it starts off, and I feel like, my God, how many times are we going to see a scene where Bruce Wayne's parents are killed?
The Batman origin story, again, unnecessary completely.
I actually thought, at first, I was like, wow, this is a really quick version of the Batman origin story. Good, because we don't really need it. Oh, wait, it's a dream.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The only reason it was a dream.
Yeah. The only reason I liked that scene was just because the actors playing his parents were...
Maggie and Negan?
Yeah. Well, they're both on Supernatural, too, before that.
Oh, really?
They're both on Supernatural. They're both on Walking Dead, too.
Who's the guy who plays his dad?
Jeffrey Dean Morgan.
It seemed strange to see Jeffrey Dean Morgan.
Well, he was in Watchmen, and I think he's been
that's
in
right.
Zack
Oh,
that's
that, that
right.
other movie from visionary yes. director Zack Snyder?
I figured that's why he was in it. I'm not so sure about Lauren Cohen, but...
When things go off the rails really quick, because this is, I think, the first time I've ever seen the Batman origin story where it appears that Thomas Wayne tried to attack... Joke,
yeah,
chill,
yeah.
Which I'm like, no, the whole point of this is that Bruce Wayne's parents were shot for no reason.
Yeah.
And in this version, it looked like Thomas Wayne
almost
like
a self-defense.
Yeah.
Wait, are you implying Zack Snyder doesn't understand characters?
I'll be more than implying that. Yeah.
It looks good. Just shoot it. It looks good. Who cares about character development? It looks nice and pretty. It's framed well.
Or who cares about the physics of firing a gun within a necklace that is perfectly around the edge of the gun?
Much like, just about every adaptation that Zack Snyder shot, which is just about every movie he shot now that I think about it. That is something he pulled directly... from a comic book. That was
really?
Yes.
Okay, I'm proving wrong then.
The actual framing of the shot and everything, I was like, oh, that's, I think the...
I have seen that framing done.
He takes, like, comic books and uses them, like, basically as his storyboards.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is why I thought the visionary director is... Nick just mentioned.
In this case, kind of like in that scene, I believe it was Frank Miller.
That visionary artist...
And then we kind of stumble through where we get the same Batcave scene from Bruce Wayne.
Yeah,
I thought it was bizarre that they use the same scene.
They lift
Batman
a couple
Begins.
Of scenes from The Dark Knight and Batman Begins.
Yeah.
Actually, there's some similarities in the Batman.
And I don't know why, like Cody said, I don't know why we needed this scene. It's not that long ago that we've seen that.
Yeah.
And this is a movie that is 2.5 hours long and... it's really bloated. That easily could have gone.
It's not like they're taking it from some obscure Batman movie from, you know, I mean, it's a pretty big movie.
Not to mention, so we all know Batman's origin. We don't need it. Then they show it to you again later on.
Yeah.
Like, you could have done one or the other. We didn't need it twice in one movie.
Very true. That felt like a studio note to me of almost someone being like, hey, this movie's 2.5 hours long. I don't know if people have like memento memory and we need to like give them this again. And now, so now the movie goes to, we're rewatching the end of Man of Steel.
Metropolis, the world is introduced to the Superman.
Yeah. And it's the end of Man of Steel, but through the eyes of Bruce Wayne,
right?
Who is...
He has to give permission to his people before they can evacuate a building when the city's being destroyed.
That was insane. That, what were those people doing?
Sorry, why were they still there?
I mean, they are right next to...
They're waiting for Bruce
to,
Wayne's approval. To, yeah. Okay,
no,
Bruce
Wayne, Mr. Wayne said we have to stay.
Yeah, I mean, they are right there.
And Bruce Wayne is on the world's most pointless car chase.
Oh,
because
yeah.
no one's chasing him,
yeah.
but he's knocking car doors off of other cars and swerving.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, what did
he
plan
really,
on doing once
and
he got there?
He really has to give them permission to leave the building. he knows they're going to stay there if he doesn't.
And
he's going to hold up that building with his...
And this movie plays it up, because like, I think ours and a lot of other people's criticisms of Man of Steel is... The Superman Zod fight essentially was the 9/11 for Metropolis
right.
of thousands of people dying because Superman threw General Zod through their building. And Zack Snyder takes that, what essentially was a joke, and takes it very literally and is like, yeah, I'm going to portray this as 9/11 imagery.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Oh,
you know,
and people, I will say, I know people that didn't see Man of Steel and watch this and were confused as to what was going on. Because for the rest the committees and the politicians and the people who are pissed off at Superman, it's not about the Zod fight.
Right.
It's about this random, like, terrorist
thing
that happens
later. We're going to get into that.
Nothing to do with this opening scene whatsoever. So the entire movie, the entire final act of Man of Steel was just to get Bruce Wayne pissed off at Superman.
Right. Yeah. And at first I kind of thought, when I read the description of this movie, I thought, oh...
It could be a good idea.
Well, they're actually going to turn this criticism of Man of Steel into a plot point of, yeah, this fight was so ridiculous and it killed all these people. Let's actually go with that. But they do. Zack Snyder does it in a way where he's almost like, I'm not going to acknowledge your criticism because I'm going to apply all this 9/11 imagery to the way I do it. Mm-hmm. So you can't mock me for the way I did this in Man of Steel. I don't know. It didn't own how ridiculous it was in Man of Steel.
Well, then I counted 3 times in the final battle they commented that the area was empty or uninhabited.
Oh, yes. They did a couple
three different times.
Yeah, they absolutely sure.
The island is uninhabited.
Yes.
Yeah. We can't show shots of Superman saving.
My favorite was, we'll get to it later, but.
Well, and this, I'd heard some issues with the soundtrack, and this is where, and this, the Man of Steel soundtrack was a little crazy. It got nuts right in here, too, with a lot of like, boom, boom, boom. Like,
yeah.
It was like kind of the soundtrack from like a Rocky and Bullwinkle episode where the music cues are there to inspire laughter.
Yeah.
But it seemed to be how they were actually scoring it. I thought
it was interesting to see it like from the perspective of the streets, the city being destroyed.
Well,
but,
yeah.
Like,
right.
So if they used that, it would have been more interesting, but... So for this one scene, it was like, okay, I kind of like what they're doing, but then
it then goes away, because as we were talking about before we went on mics, the only person in the world who seems to be angry at Superman for causing a 9/11 style event in Metropolis is Batman.
Right.
Everyone else is kind of like, well, it's cool.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
They make this big statue to him and everything.
They have the huge statue to a guy that is... Which, by the way, it was only 18 months. That's a pretty big memorial.
I remember thinking that myself,
months.
Like, that, man, they fast-tracked whatever approval process had to go through for that.
Superman built it himself.
There's this whole controversy. Superman is,
but very,
you know,
humbly so.
Investigated, being investigated by the government, but has a huge monument to him.
This didn't come together cleanly.
No.
At all.
Much like the entire final third of this movie.
The
whole movie,
I
but particularly
the
final third.
Final cut.
So
much like everything in this movie.
Are we in the Middle East yet?
During the Metropolis fight, Bruce Wayne sees one of his employees is like trapped under like a big piece of concrete or whatever.
He pulls
him out. Yeah, his legs are all left up and so he's like very... Then there's like a little girl there. Doesn't he save a little girl or something?
He did save a little girl.
Yeah. And then he's like very angry because
this little girl's mom.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, because her mom's dead. That's right.
Yeah.
And we then also cut to this to a pretty random scene of a ton of kryptonite being found on the bottom of the Indian Ocean.
Yeah.
And this is where I kind of thought, okay, what is the geography here?
Right.
Because why is all this kryptonite from, or really it was like Zod's ship
if I remember correctly, there was the ship over Metropolis, and there was one on the other side.
There's one on the other side of the planet where they're hammering the planet from both sides.
I forgot about that. Yes. Okay, thank you.
Yeah. But it's kind of this like weird throwaway moment that almost didn't even need to be its own scene. This movie is
overly complicated villain plot too.
An insane.
It didn't have to happen the way it did.
Well, that is kind of on point for Lex Luthor, at least.
I guess.
But they didn't even need to show this. This actually could have been done in exposition, whereas
easily.
There are many things in the movie that are done in exposition that should have been shown to us.
Yeah.
Like, it's showing us things it could tell us, and it's telling us things it should be showing us.
Right.
I didn't... It was dumb. We don't know. Okay, kryptonite's in the bottom of the ocean. Got it.
Yeah.
You know?
Because later, Lex explains that scene.
Yes.
That felt a little redundant.
They're showing us and telling us.
That could have even been VO as Lex was. I would have been fine with that.
Cut to them finding it. Yeah.
And now we go to, as Jack was previewing, a section of the movie I called Lois Lane in Zero Dark Thirty.
we have hipster Jimmy Olsen. That is supposed to be Jimmy Olsen.
Yeah, I didn't catch that until.
Really?
Yes. That I found out through research. This character here with his film camera in 2016 is supposed to be Jimmy Olsen.
Yeah, because people said
and
that.
And what's coming up was very much like, I know Jimmy Olsen's kind of an annoying character, but you know, if you're a Superman fan, it's about to happen.
But
you know,
I'm just thinking back because in Man of Steel there was like an intern that was named
Jenny
Olsen.
So it's like, yep.
Was there?
Yes.
I
don't remember that.
I went and looked it up because I thought it's been a long time since I've seen Man of Steel, and only
I'm pretty
seen it
sure
once,
it was supposed to be Jimmy.
But I remember thinking, as he said, I'm Jimmy Olsen. I was like, wasn't he in the first one? No, they did the gender flip and had a Jenny Olsen.
Right.
But this, I mean, Jimmy Olsen is like a cool CIA guy as opposed to like the sidekick character.
Right. He's one scene.
Half of a scene. I didn't even catch that was him.
And this is like so many. There's so many layers.
What?
This scene feels like out of a James Bond movie or something, or like a Bourne movie.
Well, like Lois,
it had the editing of a Bourne movie scene in that I was constantly like, I don't understand what I'm seeing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know what I'm seeing.
Right.
I don't know who some of these people are.
Mm-hmm.
I do recognize Amy Adams. That was all that I was grounded to in this scene. Because, like, I have a note here, like, is this where I think there's a double cross?
Or,
yes. This is like a triple cross.
But I'm like,
here.
I'm not
who's
entirely
double crossing
sure.
Who?
So, Lois Lane is there to interview a general, not knowing that the CIA has come with her, posing as her photographer, to get to this general.
Yep.
But then, there's private security guys that are working for Lex. We don't know this yet, but they're working for Lex Luthor.
But are they the terrorists? The terrorists know this? Or is it like the CIA guy hiding out with Lois?
The CIA...
The private guys are hiding out with the terrorists?
The private guys are... Because Lois asks the general, who's paying for your security forces? So the security forces were working for the general.
But they weren't really...
But then there's this... were there American soldiers there, too?
I don't know.
It's a total Sean Bean in, like, everyone's getting double-crossed. But it's like, I don't... Like, are they aware that this is even a double-cross? And as the audience, we don't know who anybody is. We don't know who anyone except for Lois Lane is.
Right.
Yeah.
And I remember watching this scene, just looking at Amy Adams being like, I'm going to watch her face to try to gauge how I should feel, I guess. I don't know.
But then...
By the way, Amy Adams' interview skills in this scene...
Oh, they're not.
For being, you know, a great
Are you a
reporter,
terrorist?
Yeah.
Not even,
hello,
General. Just, are you a terrorist, General? You got
to... Gotta get to the hard questions.
Yeah.
Question one. Yeah, it's tough. She didn't even ask him to say and spell his name.
Reporting 101.
Yeah.
So the security guys like take Jimmy Olsen's film, or they take his camera, take the film out of the camera, and
unscrew it.
That's how
ever have that kind of camera.
Yeah, who has a film camera?
Today,
That's when she should have known he's not really a photographer.
Film?
Yeah.
Well, maybe if he's CIA, maybe because he's CIA, they don't want like something like traceable and hackable, like a like a camera that might have a digital camera that might have Wi-Fi.
Well, it's still a shooting
film.
Cover.
You can have the microfilm. You can keep it in a case. I'm just giving this one to this credit.
They had the film because inside
he's
the film
a hipster,
canister,
so he had to have film.
They had to take the camera apart.
Yeah, he takes the camera apart and breaks the film canister open, and there's like a tracking device or whatever, and they're like, listen,
there's
I don't
a tracking device. Then they reveal like, hey, this guy's not a photographer.
So they just straight up murder him.
They just straight up shoot him
in the face. Yeah. And I remember in the theater, I was thinking, they shot that guy in the face. I'm pretty sure that's Jimmy Olsen. This is a Superman movie, and a man got shot in the face.
Yeah.
Now, I'm okay with darkening it up and making it more quote-unquote realistic by making it gritty and more violent and the stakes are higher and all that. But when Superman, when dozens of people get shot and killed, and then Superman shows up conveniently to save his girlfriend only, and then later on shows no real remorse for it, what the hell is going on here? Like, I was, and I'm confused as to, wait, who's double crossing who? Lois got this interview, but like, why is the CIA, you know?
Because then the big double cross comes out. Everybody's shooting at everybody. This guy.
I still don't understand who the victims are, though. Like, being shot?
I think it's bad guys versus bad guys.
That's what I thought.
I think
too.
Everyone's bad in this, except yeah, like that's
we're
where,
the victims. We're the ones that lost shit.
Well, that's why
we lost 2.5 hours. Well, yeah. 5.5 hours of your life until you went above and beyond with the director's cut too.
Yeah.
Like,
wow. Well, when this becomes a scandal later on, I'm always like, why was this a scandal? Like,
where
sure,
are congressional
like,
hearings?
Like, who were the
why? Like, I hate to say this, but why does the American government even care? Okay, a CIA operative was killed, but that's
the line of duty. Killed the terrorists.
Yeah, but Superman shows up. He barrels through a wall.
Only to save Lois.
Saves Lois Lane and presumably kills the terrorist who had a gun to Lois Lane's head, I guess.
Now this scene, because when I saw that, I was like, okay, well, that's, I guess, not, I don't want to say it's a fun scene, but it's like a scene to show him saving Lois, which he does like 18 times in this movie.
Right.
So I just thought that was what that scene was for. And then it turned into this whole plot point for the rest of the movie, like where there's hearings.
This was crazy. Yeah, there's
news
like
reports.
Hearings immediately
more
cuts
of a
to
plot
like,
point in the extended version.
I know. We're going to hear about that. Yeah.
Because this I always thought was a little exposition because I was a little confused about what was going on in the Middle East here. And then all of a sudden we're at this Senate committee and.
Quickest Senate hearing ever.
Yeah, of course. And a woman is explaining what happened to try to maybe. And I'm like, oh, well, this is the woman that's going to fill in the gaps for me, I guess. And she just says how horrible it was that they were shooting and, like, innocent
people. Which, actually, I will
killed.
Say, as we've been talking, I remember that she does say, she basically says that her village was destroyed.
Yeah.
So they're the innocent bystanders of this whole
thing.
That
we didn't see.
But why the American government would be having, except for the fact that...
A CIA guy was
the,
there. I don't know.
The CIA guy was there and... Superman lives in America.
Like,
I guess
like,
that's why the American
like,
government has jurisdiction over this.
Well, they don't know where he lives, technically. I mean, he told the general he was from Kansas quite foolishly in the first movie. And, well, I guess Lois figured it out pretty easily, so maybe the NSA knows.
But I don't
Lex
know.
Lex
Luthor
knows.
Well, my whole thing is like, Luthor, I don't even know
why. Is it
why...
for explained how he knows?
I don't understand.
I was okay with that.
Lex
I was
knows.
Because it got to a point where it's like, oh, everyone knows who everyone is, but how did...
Yeah.
He had to know from the top, because, I mean, I think he set this whole thing up because it was Lois Lane, and he knew Superman would come.
Yeah.
So he knew Lois Lane, and he just knows.
It's clear he knows.
He knows he's falling apart.
Yeah, I'm okay with Lex knowing, because he's supposed to be this evil genius, but I would like to have seen some scene where he figured it out, or like a line where he's like, come on, you take your glasses off, you know, it's like Lex
probably
is smarter
has a file
than
on him on that computer of his.
Yeah, and he created a super symbol for him too.
So is that why Bruce Wayne then knows? Because was he on that?
I don't think I don't know at what point in the film Bruce Wayne found out.
Well, we're gonna talk
I'm not sure Bruce Wayne
I
knows.
I have to say, we're gonna talk a lot about that hard drive and like what was and was not on that hard drive, because it seems like that hard drive contained anything the movie needed it to contain, but only people who needed to see it saw it. It's crazy. All right, so Superman is getting blamed for destroying an African village that, by the way, there's probably tons of evidence that he did not do, because the village seems to have been destroyed by bullets. Yes. I mean, I guess in the government's version, Superman was like shooting a machine gun.
Clearly in this movie, Batman does that.
I have a question, because this is something that I'm not sure was in, I couldn't remember seeing it before. The Russian guy in this scene, does he burn a whole bunch of bodies in the
No.
Okay, so that's like a 5-second clip that's in the extended version of, you know how later on he's got that big flamethrower gun?
Yeah.
He uses that on a pile of bodies in this village or in this.
Oh, it'd make it look like Superman used laser vision on it.
I guess
that's why. Because then during the testimony, the woman talks about fire.
This is crazy. Like, I don't. This is the craziest plot point of why this.
That's like that we're talking about a Batman versus Superman movie. We're stuck on like terrorists.
Why is Superman being investigated for like a CIA / Blackwater operation conspiracy? Ay, ay, ay. All right, so then we cut to...
Isn't this Lois in the bathtub?
No, this is Batman who...
Oh, that's right.
The cops are creeping through this warehouse.
Oh, that's right. A little introduction to Batman.
And
yeah, we're in Gotham,
assumingly.
And it takes
forever. Yeah. Again, in a movie that doesn't have a lot of time to waste, you waste like five minutes of a cop going up a staircase.
This was a cool scene, but it was like a cool scene for a Batman movie.
Yeah, you know who Batman is. You don't need...
But
it doesn't go anywhere.
It makes no sense. So a cop climbs up a staircase. He's all freaked out because they found what appear to be human trafficking victims.
Yeah.
So a cop comes upstairs. You literally watch him one step at a time. It's like a documentary on how to climb stairs. He gets there. He finds a guy who's been branded like in his neck with a bat symbol.
Right.
And then the cop is looking around, and Batman is up in the rafters.
Acting like a bat.
Waiting to be found.
Why was he up there?
Yeah.
Like, what,
why didn't he just swing out? Yeah, like, so he could have a cool entrance to the movie.
He was only up there to look cool. There was no, there was no other point.
It's all about corporate branding.
Yeah. I don't know.
Gotta push a bat brand.
Exactly.
And can I ask you, why is Batman branding... villains.
They make it sound because he won't kill him himself, but I mean he's indiscriminate about killing people in this movie.
Yeah.
He has no problem killing people.
But they implied that he does it so that in prison they'll probably get murdered in prison because
which I really don't understand.
They kind of imply that he does it to like the pedophiles and like you know people who prisoners. Tend to murder because they don't like.
Wouldn't they do that anyway?
Like, in jail, they'd know what they went in for.
I don't know. I really didn't like this.
Like they could have just found like a batarang sticking in the wall and then been like, "It's the bat." No, you're crazy, you know, or something. I don't know.
I think it was really just so they could use that newspaper headline of the bat brand of justice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And most of Perry White's headlines in this, he talks them up like they're really creative, but they're not. He says things like, "Here's an idea: school gets funding for computers." And he says it like it's this wild, great, creative headline. Like the whole Perry White trying to be creative with the headlines, which is a stupid thing to nitpick. But the whole thing with Perry White, his headlines aren't creative.
Yeah.
They're just generic sentences that say what it is.
Out of all the things
I love Lawrence Fishburne.
Oh, yeah, of course. Lawrence
I love Lawrence
good.
Fishburne.
Yeah, he's good.
I love classically the character of Perry White. I hated Perry White in this movie.
Yeah,
he's just a really bad editor.
Yeah,
and just an
asshole. Really,
on
he's
top
really
of
caught up on that high school football story too.
His son must be like starting that week or something.
Yeah. It's almost uncomfortable.
You're on football camp, damn it!
Yeah. So basically, that scene,
and apparently you just go from you're in the sports department this week now.
Yeah.
Basically, that scene just set up the brand thing that he brands, which only really comes back for a second later on.
Which also kind of now makes me dislike the Batman character, which I'm like,
I don't like Batman at all.
Like, so all right, so I don't. I mean, I already have problems with Superman, who as we've established, killed thousands of people in Metropolis.
Yeah.
Now I'm kind of disliking the Batman character, who is kind of like. Like a bad sort of vigilante.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, who am I rooting for in this movie at this point? I don't know.
At this point, Wonder Woman later on, but so far, no one.
Uh-huh. We now meet Jesse Eisenberg, who...
Yes.
I don't even want to say...
Joker Lex.
Zuckerberg as Lex Luthor.
Yeah. He is playing Mark Zuckerberg again.
Well, apparently, I've read that he based Lex Luthor on Max Landis.
That's insane.
After having worked with him for American Ultra? He definitely got an impression of the guy, and apparently this is supposed to be...
The guy's not a maniac, though. I mean...
It depends on who you talk to.
But Lex isn't a cackle maniac.
I thought everything about this character was so... ill-advised. Like, I almost don't want to talk about it because I thought it was just a complete failure Everything of writing, of acting, of costume design. Like, this was just...
It's just not Lex Luthor.
It was ridiculous.
And he kept mentioning his father a lot. Like, that was going to be important to the plot. And I was almost like, well, why not just... Why not just say Lex Luthor is, like, dead or in the background somewhere, and this is, like, his idiot son? And, like, the real Lex is just hiding behind the corner or something. I mean, but nope, we get this skinny kid who's like, "Nyah, riddle me this, Superman! Nyah, ring the bell!" And I'm like, this is not Lex.
This was, like,
Joel Iceberg's a good actor, but this is not the way I expect Lex to be.
When it's not even, like, I don't even mind different approaches of stuff.
No,
this
okay.
Just, this just,
no,
just didn't work.
Did not work.
At all. Like, there was, he was not threatening. He was just, it was just ridiculous.
Yeah.
I have to admit that I don't know all that much about the Superman comics. So Lex Luthor is a villain that I really don't know that much about. So I actually wrote down in my notes, is Lex supposed to be this crazy?
No.
I kind of figured that
he's very evil and he's malevolent, but he's not crazy. He's very in control. He's like a power maniac.
Yeah, he's a megalomaniac. He's incredibly intelligent. And has a weird corporate build to him where, like, I think the whole thing, like, to summarize Lex Luthor in, like, the modern comics is, like, he's a villain who's also running a Fortune 500 company.
Yeah.
But, like, which they're having...
So he's only... He does bad things more, like, for a thrill because he doesn't need the money.
Yeah.
And he's jealous of Superman.
In true world domination.
Yeah.
Like evil Bruce Wayne without the Batman side. That's,
that's a good way to put it. He wants to sell kryptonite to Holly Hunter.
And but I think
he wants an import license. He wants to import.
Instead of just smuggling it in on one of his ships, he's already an unscrupulous businessman. So why have him just? Why is this to get Bruce Wayne to see on TV? Lex Luthor wants an import license, but why would that be on TV?
Well, I think it's also about access to the ship.
Yeah, because he seemed to be working
spaceship.
He seemed to be working with that other senator? Like about I don't know who that guy is. He doesn't come back.
No.
But about access to the General Zod ship.
Zod's body. Yeah.
And like basically Lex Luthor is like, hey, I want to do whatever I feel like on the alien ship and with General Zod's corpse. And this senator's like, I can do that.
I want the government to look the other way.
Yeah.
Oh, and by the way, I need to ship this rock in instead of just, you know, shipping it in without permission.
Yeah, which wouldn't be a problem for LexCorp at
all. Basically,
he's
selling it as he wants to build some sort of weapon to keep Superman under control, right? If you were to go.
Then why not just have him build that weapon as Lex Luthor and destroy Superman himself instead of wasting time trying to get Batman to do it?
I don't know.
Because he's trying to do both at the same time, which is why it's so
confusing. But they do then kind of drop this whole, like, I want to sell this to the government storyline.
But he never talked about selling it. He just talked about he wanted to create it.
Yeah.
And he pitched it as a government security thing,
but
he wasn't talking about selling it to the government.
That's true. He hadn't gotten that far yet, I guess.
Maybe that was the implication of why he was contacting the government, but he never said it.
At this point, we're talking about this weird story plot, that plot point of a guy who was injured by one of Superman's attacks.
In the beginning, whose legs were crushed.
Oh, that's that guy.
Yeah.
Okay, I never quite put that together. Yeah. Okay, so the guy, Bruce Wayne's employee from the beginning, whose leg was crushed, now is in a wheelchair, and he climbs the Superman statue. Or is it a statue of Superman?
It is.
It's a statue of Superman, and he, like...
At the memorial to the thousands of people that died in Metropolis, with a statue of Superman at it. I really feel like that is an insult to all the names that are on the wall. The statue of the guy responsible for their death.
Sorry this guy couldn't save you.
Yeah, or sorry this guy killed you.
Sorry this guy brought Zod to
the statue of Hitler in the middle of the World War II memorial.
Yeah.
I mean, because, And
he was in the war too.
And he goes up, and I forget this guy's name. Wally. Okay. So he climbs up on it, and he, like, graffitis the Superman.
And the cop calls for backup. I thought that was funny. I'm going to need backup.
Did you guys catch?
I need a long stick.
One of the highlights of Zack Snyder movies is media reports that come up during them. Because right after this, there's a quick media report where they say, oh, he could receive 40 years for vandalism.
Did they actually say 40 years?
They said 40 years. 40 years in jail for vandalism?
For tagging the...
That really seems excessive. I feel like there's a movie to be made about the society.
He's lucky he didn't get branded.
I know.
Well, can we talk about how long he actually did spend in jail? Because there's that scene, and then there's a montage of Superman saving people and
we gotta talk about this.
But then there's like several catastrophes in this montage, and then somebody pays this guy's bail.
Yes.
Like, did that whole montage happen in 2 days?
And it was a busy afternoon.
Did somebody take several months to pay this guy's bail?
I don't know.
Time scale is a little bit of an issue. It happens later on, too, with the ticking clock and Martha Kent.
Oh, yeah. This movie has timeline issues all over the place.
Like, 2 minutes is 30 minutes, I remember noting. We'll get to that scene.
But you're right. Well, I mean, because like the whole Amy Adams, the montage.
Well, we're not even at the little homemaker scene.
No, we are.
That happened.
Oh, I think that did happen.
Like, he doesn't care that all these people are dead, and he's just gonna like, you know, have a little fun with his girlfriend.
Yeah, because apparently we needed a sex scene in a Superman movie.
Exactly, because people getting shot in the face and sex.
Lois Lane seems a little like, boy, that is kind of weird. A lot of people did die. Like, she's almost having that, like, Nick Cage in Season of the Witch moment where she's like, oh, my God, we are killing dozens of people. Yeah. You know, like, and then he's like, whatever.
I don't let that bother me. I couldn't stop those guys with the guns. Come on, let me, you know, give you a super time. I don't know.
Also, he walks in. Well, A, he knocks, but he does not listen for her to say, come on in. And he walks in on her in the bathroom.
He's got the x-ray vision.
Well, that's true. Yeah. He's carrying grocery bags and says, I figured I could cook. There's nothing in those grocery bags but flours.
Yeah.
What was he going to cook?
Well, he's Kryptonian. He doesn't know the human diet.
Yeah.
Very specific nutrient needs for Kryptonians, it turns out.
That's why I get to that montage quick, though.
We need to.
I feel like most Superman movies, there's like scenes of him saving a woman falling from a bridge or something, or this or that, and it's always like a heroic moment, and this is just so depressing. It's like really sad music, and he's like in slow motion, like dragging a ship.
And he's like,
he saves the capsule from the rocket as it explodes, and it's like looks so sad. They like saves like a little girl from a burning building, and all the people are like, you know, reaching toward them. Very like Jesus.
Oh no, that comes later. So that's during the party.
That's during the library. It's like a flooded farm or something.
Oh yeah, yeah. There's like a flooded.
When he's hovering instead of actually saving them.
One of its apex Christ imagery moments. Sun's behind him. He's backlit.
Which again, they're beautiful images in and of themselves, but they're not. But he's just so story.
It's just so overwrought.
Yeah, it is.
And the whole point of it is he just seems depressed about saving people.
Well, this movie is so depressed overall.
It is. Yeah.
I mean,
it's like he never seems like he enjoys. It's like his burden or something. He has to save people. It's just like anti-Superman, I think.
I remember saying in Man of Steel, if at the end of the movie you can verify that more people wind up dead than Superman can save, you've made a bad Superman movie.
Yeah.
Also, like if that's point A, point B is if you make an angsty Superman. You're not the right person to be making a Superman.
If he's
movie.
Sad about saving little girls from fires, then it's a problem.
Exactly.
Yeah. If he's sad about rescuing people from a rooftop,
and shows no remorse. There's no remorse for like the casualties of being a superhero, which like, they never touched on.
Yeah. I'm more pleased when my girlfriend tells me to take out the garbage. Like, yeah, okay, sure, no problem.
Yeah.
I guess I'll save the girl.
So I do have one little stupid piece of trivia from that whole montage, because I follow Neil deGrasse Tyson on Twitter.
Oh, great.
The vest that he's wearing in that scene that he does the little news clip is actually, he was in a Superman comic wearing that vest. He met Superman. He was a character in the comic and met Superman wearing that vest, and he tweeted about it when the movie came out. I just thought that was hilarious. As he popped up, I'm like, oh yeah, the vest.
It was fun to see. There were three performances in the movie I liked, and one of them was Neil deGrasse Tyson. Spoiler, one of the other ones was Soledad O'Brien, who was in for all of about 15 seconds, and who I would have been fine if she was in the whole movie. Lex Luthor at this point has gotten into the crashed Zod ship, and this is where question marks start showing up in my notes, where I'm like, how has Superman not secured the Zod ship?
How does this ship have so little security?
It's so little.
It basically turned on and said, hi, you can control me now.
Yeah. Right.
Well, because he stole the Zod's fingertips.
Except he later was touching everything else, and like it didn't recognize him as Zod.
It recognizes him as Lex.
Yeah.
Well, to let him in the front... He had the key to get in the front door, and then...
So yeah, remember, that little floating bot, was that out, little floating bot almost killed Lois in the first movie. Well, and with Lex, it's just kind of like, oh, okay. And it's kind of
fluid. Well, because also, if I'm Superman, I'm going to go, boy, the whole Kryptonian archive is in there. I should probably secure that.
Throw it back into space or something.
Take this to the Fortress of Solitude.
Yeah.
As we've established, Clark Kent in this movie is not very thoughtful.
No.
He broods a lot.
There's a lot of not thinking.
We got to get to this dinner party here because this is the big scene from all the trailers that they built up to as if, you know, this was like the destined meeting.
Yes. And so, yeah, he goes to...
Ooh, one little fun thing before we get to this dinner party. In the extended scene, in the extended cut, we get the scene of Perry White assigning Clark to go to this party. Someone requested him. That's what Perry says. Someone requested you to cover this. I guess it's some nerd that like, or some book woman that likes nerds or something like that is what Perry White says to him.
Okay, so there's so
members of the public can request.
Well, or so no, yeah. I think what they're saying is Lex Luthor.
Yeah. Oh no, that's clearly what they're saying.
Those journalistic standards.
Yeah,
you can hold off on that football story for the night.
Yeah,
pick it back up tomorrow.
So he goes to this, Bruce Wayne goes to this crazy library fundraiser at Lex Luthor's headquarters, I think.
It's like his house.
It's like his house, I think. He's got like,
yeah, I think it's his house.
I also forgot one other extended cut scene that I feel like really needs to be said as we get ready for this party. Naked Batman.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, yeah. It's a Zack Snyder, so there has to be excessive nudity in there somewhere.
Batman shower scene as he gets ready for this party.
Yep. Hey.
Gotta love Zack Snyder.
Ben Affleck's gonna do all that personal trainer work.
Yeah, shut up.
Yeah.
I apologize, I'm done interrupting you. You can continue on to the party. Those are all the extended cut scenes.
Well,
I like how Clark Kent doesn't know who Bruce Wayne is, too.
He's a pretty...
He's like, who's that?
Especially since we established that Gotham is like literally right across the bay. It's
like someone here in Syracuse not knowing who like Jim Boeheim is. Like who's?
It was weird. Well, and there's this whole sequence where Bruce Wayne is sneaking downstairs to hook up this hard drive to copy files from Lex.
Yeah, he's talking to Alfred earlier in the movie about like, oh, he's got this mineral he's trying to import or whatever.
No, he tells Alfred that the white Portuguese, thinks is a crime lord.
Yeah.
And he tells Alfred the white Portuguese wants to bring a dirty bomb.
That's right.
He's lying to Alfred because he knows
it's kryptonite.
It's kryptonite, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it gets so confusing. Like, it's so... Everyone's motivations are so scattershot.
Right.
Like, people are... Like, for no reason. Like, there's also no reason for Bruce Wayne to not just tell Alfred, like, yeah, I'm trying to get this kryptonite.
Yeah.
Like, you're just adding a level of confusion to it that we don't need. By the way, the third performance I enjoyed was Jeremy Irons as Alfred.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
One of the things I wrote down was, no offense to Michael Caine, but I really like Jeremy Irons as Alfred.
Yeah. For me, the majority of the solo Batman scenes, particularly Bruce and Alfred, were the best scenes in the movie.
Oh, yeah.
And the ones that I complained about the least, and I was like... It was almost like they took, like, a Batman movie, took scenes out of a pre-made Batman movie and shoved them into a Superman movie and then called in on, like, second unit photography, brought Ben Affleck in to do a few subtle insert shots of him with Superman. That's how it felt.
Yeah.
Because I was like, ooh, what's going on in this Batman movie? Oh, okay, that's kind of interesting. He's trying to figure out this dirty bomb or whatever. And oh, no. Oh, okay, now we're not. Okay.
Yeah.
Now it's Superman.
I just love Jeremy Irons' way of just kind of delivering it. It's just a very... Just over it already, Alfred.
Yeah.
Like,
sure.
I think in a lot of ways, Batman's supposed to be too.
Like, well, I mean, Jeremy Irons is just sick of the whole Batman thing.
Oh,
yeah.
That his Alfred is just like, come on, I thought we were...
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I'll repair the car. Sure.
Yeah. Yeah. I like it. He was genuinely doing an interesting character.
Yes.
And the only, maybe one of few...
I want an Alfred movie. I don't care if Batman shows up. Just Alfred, you know.
I'd see that. The Jeremy Irons Alfred movie? Yeah, absolutely.
And there's the whole thing, by the way, is Batman, Bruce Wayne, is trying to download this. There's this other lady.
Well, first he gets caught, and he makes some like, oh, is this... He fakes drunk and says, is this where the bathroom is? And she says, no. And then she turns
and walks away. Yeah.
So does this factor into, like, Lex is purposely trying to get Batman to steal the kryptonite? So... Did Lex send her down there to say,
if he wants to
Bruce Wayne must be...
He's giving them kryptonite.
Exactly. But, like, why have Batman, like purposely let him take files or something? Or does she Lex, not know?
Well, does Lex know that Bruce Wayne is Batman?
Yes. Yeah,
I believe there's
because
saying
the You Let Your does. Family Die letters yes. that Bruce Wayne was getting sent in the mail.
Yes.
Lex quotes that in the end of the in the confrontation with Superman on the rooftop, which but means that he doesn't, must have known.
But that doesn't necessarily mean that he knows that Bruce Wayne is Batman.
He, sent, he's he get, had Legolas guy send Robin. Those to Batman. Send those
oh,
to
by
Bruce
the way,
Wayne
no,
specifically.
He did. He sent them.
Oh, in the extended
he sent
cut.
He sent
oh God.
He arranged that.
Oh yeah. No.
Yeah, no. He's. I think he's trying to get Batman riled up, so he's sending him to Bruce Wayne. I think he knows.
Okay.
Which is why this gets so crazy. Of like, there's characters like deceiving and misleading other characters. Who
for
don't
no reason.
For no reason right. for literally no reason because they're deceiving the character they actually want
yes.
something from and who they could just go to that character directly and be like
yeah.
You could even have a scene where Lex Luthor goes to Batman Bruce Wayne is like, hey, Superman's really dangerous, I think we got to
yeah.
do something about
they
it
want,
and just streamline
yeah,
it
they want
yeah.
they both want the same thing
yeah
and Lex Luthor wants Batman to do it
yeah.
but he's like the whole time just like blocking him from doing it for some reason, from like getting the kryptonite and
I don't know why. Yeah.
Hiring goons to protect the kryptonite.
Right.
Yeah. Well, and then okay, so then this other lady who's at the party who
yes.
seems really interesting, she ends up.
I want to see a movie about her, but no, we can't.
You will be seeing.
Well, we will be. But at this point, I'd rather be watching a movie about her.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay.
Every scene she's in, and then she leaves, and you're like, wait, no.
Okay,
oh.
but
well,
she stands there and waits for Bruce to see her.
Yes.
Well, clearly means, they're on the same side, I guess.
Does she know that yet? She
I
doesn't
know
he's Batman. He's.
I guess
she
everybody
just stands like if she's supposed to be. I mean, they kind of set her up like a great thief.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But she waits to be caught. Like she waits for him to see her multiple times.
Yes, and so she takes the hard drive, and Bruce Wayne is like, "Oh, no hard drive."
Yep.
You know, and they're like, "Okay." Like I remember watching this being like. Okay, like you have now set something up, not paid it off,
mm-hmm.
and this doesn't get paid off for like a long time,
yeah.
like
an hour,
yeah, like way too long. Super crazy. Okay, and now again, in moving things forward in like a movie that is so overcomplicated, Lex Luthor goes to visit the vandalism guy, the former Wayne Enterprises employee who's in a wheelchair,
no legs.
With no legs.
Yes.
And Lex offers him a
brand new chair.
A new wheelchair.
Yeah.
And
sort of like a bribe, I guess.
A bribe because he wants...
Get
like,
him to blow himself up, I guess. I don't know.
Well, just... I think the implication is to join his anti-Superman crusade.
But what I had assumed until Chrissy said something earlier was that he, from this point, was like, we're going to try to... kill Superman, we're gonna blow you up, I'm gonna give you this wheelchair, you know, you can do something good, and but
according to the
yeah, to Chrissy in the extended version, that's not the case.
No.
So what's the case?
So
what is actually going on?
You don't actually see anything more in that scene in the extended
okay.
version, but to jump ahead a little bit, after the explosion, Lois, using her reporter skills, gets police to let her into this guy's house, which is treated as a crime scene, into Wally's house. That happens.
Yeah.
And she's looking around his apartment and sees all these, like, you know, the classic crazy wall full of clues about Superman, stuff like that. And then she sees fresh fruit. And she opens the fridge and sees food in the fridge. And she says, oh my God, he didn't know he was going to die. And then she meets up with a character that has been completely cut out of the movie, Jenna Malone, playing the crime lab tech that works with Lois.
Oh, it's a
about
Zack Snyder film. Jenna Malone will be in it. Yes. Yeah. Nothing wrong with Jenna Malone.
So they're talking, and it turns out that this wheelchair has the bomb planted in it, lined with lead, so Superman couldn't
see
the bomb.
It.
But
okay.
the Bruce Wayne employee never knew what was going on. Like, they make it clear that he was tricked into bringing this bomb in
and
getting blown up.
And that maybe Lex was just giving him money to speak publicly about how evil Superman is.
Yeah.
I see. I think that would
have been nice to touch upon.
That would have been very nice to have in the actual movie.
But
it would have been longer.
I like the plot of them teaming up better. Like,
I
think it works better to have had them...
Instead of just blowing him up.
Instead of Lex using him as a pawn.
Yeah. I would agree. Yeah.
Hey, I don't mind that part.
By the way, we haven't even mentioned there's a whole other storyline in this movie, which is essentially the Perry White storyline, where Perry and Clark have a forced conflict on journalism ethics that keeps coming back in the movie. Every time that came back, I was like, had my head in my hands, like,
and they're both wrong now that I think about it. Like, they just
cost a nickel anymore.
Yeah,
so you got to go cover football.
It's so crazy in a movie
because that's what sells papers.
It does. Yeah.
Local high school football.
There, it does. People like to see
that's why people
want to see little Jimmy Olsen Jr. on the football field.
All right, now
I don't know why Clark just didn't quit that job. It seemed kind of ridiculous.
Like maybe he could become like a web journalist or something. Yeah.
And I need to talk about our next scene.
Well, my notes right now are at the Batman dream sequence. No, I don't know which one it was.
Is this a dream though?
This is the Planet Apocalypse setup dream.
Well, I call it
no because he's got the hard drive back for that. He falls asleep while decrypting the hard drive and has that. We're not there yet.
Because that's where I am on my notes.
Wonder Woman still has the hard drive.
I
did skip over certain things that weren't like, you know,
I did too.
Or maybe at this point I have.
This is gonna be
So football is more important than the Bat Vigilante story.
Well, somewhere
and then
along,
I have Batman using guns.
Somewhere along the line.
Let me jump this. Yeah, because I think maybe he does get the hard drive back from Wonder Woman.
Yeah, at some point does.
Because they're looking at the replica of Alexander's the Great Sword, and then she says to him, you know, is thieving stealing from another thief? And then she says, I gave it back to you anyway, it's in your car. And he's like, ooh, who's this mysterious woman? And she sashays out of the room, and then now he has his hard drive where we discover that my favorite part of the entire film is that not only does Lex Luthor have dirt on all these metahumans, but he created little superhero logos for them as icons to double-click.
Well, because we're going to come back to that, let's get into what I labeled in my notes as the Batman in Fallout scene. Because it appears that Batman is now a Fallout character. Was this a dream?
I don't know.
I'm asking this genuinely. I'm assuming it was a dream.
I was assuming it was a dream.
Because this is him fearful of what Superman can become. He has all these people who would follow him and do, you know, bad things because he's bad or whatever. And Metropolis is like destroyed. And
at this point, one of the things that I wrote down, because I had forgotten that in the end, he's not talking about a dirty bomb coming to Gotham, but kryptonite. He's dreaming about kryptonite. But at the time, we don't know that he's trying to bring kryptonite in. So it seems like he's having like a prophetic dream that tells him that kryptonite
is in the box. This scene is just insanity.
This really bothers me to see Batman with gun holsters and like shooting people. I don't know why that image bothers me. I don't know if whether I did it in the comic books like in his earliest days or something, but to see him with a gun literally pop and he's wearing the Batman outfit. Yeah. Like that bothers me. Like
he's
not
got a coat on over the Batman outfit.
Like
how
not
does that
using,
work with a cape?
I don't know. It didn't look terribly uncomfortable, but it must be hot though.
But
he's got the layer of the Batman body
how
on.
How do you have a cape under a coat?
And a cape and a coat. And his gun belt. So this is a pretty, must have been really cold in that desert. It must have been deceptive.
This was so insane. If this is a dream, I almost, like,
I'm
we
sure
should almost.
I mean, there's like
would it be beside the dream?
I honestly didn't know. I really, for a moment, was
no,
like.
No, it has
to. Well, because they built this up. Because Batman has the dream about being lifted into the light. Batman has the dream about visiting his mother's grave and a monster comes out. Batman has the dream about the Superman forces are like Nazis, but.
I guess it is.
And then he wakes up, and then
he's a real
Flash
dream.
In a robot suit says, "Lois, too soon. You're right, Lois." Whoa! And he disappears, and then he wakes up again.
Yeah,
and you're supposed to. You're left to just assume that's the Flash. By the way, they don't ever say. Like,
they never say it's the Flash.
And I do. This is the.
And
one,
it looks like he was wearing like a robot suit.
I'm gonna pay this movie one compliment and one compliment only. And this is to me, I thought the coolest. Concept in the movie of like because the Flash character is always using weird time travel but it's usually not perfect and the idea that a Flash from the future was trying to get a message to Batman now
but
mistimed it and came like essentially
he didn't
like
that he came in the wrong time
and he came
so
in the wrong
talking
time
about anything.
So it doesn't actually make sense to anybody but it's like this almost this weird teaser of like adventures to come
why Like, I assume he's talking about something that's coming up in the end of the movie. Like, why would you...
There's no payoff in this movie.
We don't need it. Well, and maybe the end of the movie. And like the Sam Jackson scene in the
I'd be okay with that. Even if it never paid off in this movie, it's just like a weird teaser to like a future...
No, I don't like that.
But only...
This movie should be contained as a movie.
Well, but here's where I'll take it away. I want to... I'm paying it this compliment, but let me take it away. Let me take it away. That would be a great kind of non sequitur if... the rest of the movie worked. And if the rest of the movie is not filled with non sequitur scenes.
Yeah.
And especially having this come directly after a non sequitur scene is like, well, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, but then he wakes up from that.
Well,
yeah.
The other thing is, in his Fallout dream, Superman is saying, "You killed Lois, she was my world, and you killed her." And then he immediately gets this warning from the Flash that Lois is the key. So this is all, it seemed like to me, this was building up to like Batman was going to kidnap Lois.
Or
do something to Lois. Nothing.
Correct. Right. And that's the problem is they do make it seem like this is linked to this movie. It would have been better if they had played it as like a, what was that? Right. And it was openly acknowledged that didn't make sense. But maybe some audience members would be like, maybe somewhere down the road that's going to make sense. But they didn't do
that. But if you're mentioning people from this movie, then you can only assume.
You're right.
And it just, the fact that it came right on the heels of the dream, I was thoroughly confused as to whether we were supposed to assume that was a dream.
Yes.
Because he kind of startles back awake after that.
Right. Yeah.
Was it a dream or did it actually happen? Does he think it's a dream? Because he never references any of his dream sequences, actually.
No.
He never says a word.
In the beginning of the movie, he says, in the dream, the bats carry
me up
to the light.
That's true. Yes, you're right.
But that's the only time.
That's
the only time.
Yeah. He saved most of it for his dream journal.
Okay.
Every morning when he wakes up.
Well, it's important to remember that stuff. You don't know. It might come in handy later.
Exactly.
Crime fighting. To know what's going on. You might want to interrupt your narrative of your life. And then this happened in a dream. I just want to say that unfortunately, I forget the actor's name. I kind of like the CW Flash show.
Affleck.
And I thought it was kind of a punch in the face that he just got cast as the Flash and they didn't put him in the Flash, understanding that that would lead to some confusion because you need to watch the show to appreciate the movie. But that would have been really cool if it were the actor from the CW show.
I think that actually would have helped this scene had they done that. And I think...
Because we haven't seen...
I don't know how many of you have seen it, but...
We haven't seen the clip of the Flash... in the hard drive yet.
Right. Right.
So there's no context as to who that person is. It's not, unless you already know.
So maybe someone who watched the show might recognize him and be like, oh my God.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. But that idea, and I won't harbor a tone, but the idea of a Batman who's not even really fully aware yet that there are other superheroes out there, and you kind of throw in this like super comic geeky moment of time travel and a warning from the past, and that a Batman would be like, what was that? You know, like, and then we're like, oh, that could have been
Superman.
Like, that could have, but they completely, the editing and the pacing of this, putting, as you said, putting that scene after a dream scene in a second act that is loaded with scenes that don't juxtapose in any way. I think the second act of this movie is worse than the third act because it's so like just scenes thrown at a wall.
I think the fourth act of this movie is the worst because it's about 4 or 5 minutes.
It's like 12 acts.
But at some point along the way here, which is important to mention, Holly Hunter goes to Lex Luthor's house and basically tells him, like, I'm not going to give you that import license or whatever.
Yeah.
And he starts getting all weird with her, and then he tells her a story about a jar of...
She says that.
She says you can call it whatever you want. You can call a bucket of piss Granny's peach tea.
With a big dramatic pause to make sure you remember that line.
And yes, if you haven't actually seen the movie, this does come back.
Yeah.
Make it incredibly clear that it comes back because she literally says, you know, you can get a big bucket of piss and call it Granny's peach tea. Pause.
Yeah.
Or you can blah blah blah. Like, they really wanted you to remember that line.
Yeah,
I'm angry again. Just thinking about
riddle
it.
Riddle me this.
Yeah. So he just is weird this in the scene, but
that I
it's
feel
important
like
to remember that for
that scene really just
up
sets up the jar of piss and the painting.
Yes. And the painting.
Yeah, which the painting is whatever.
And we should.
I kind of liked that idea of the painting. In a better movie, it could work. Like, what's driving Lex is this fear that aliens are coming, so we need to be prepared, and I will do whatever it takes to kill things, even if they're good and they're going to try to help us. You know, or you know, I kind of like that idea, like he's trying to gain power by using paranoia of the people, that kind of thing. But they didn't do that.
They didn't do
that. So in a better movie, that would have been a good motivation. So I like the idea of the painting, the angels descending, and then he wants to turn the painting over. And at the end of the movie, he's turned the painting over. I like that, sort of an ominous, you know, because we know that there's other, there's villains from outer space in the DC universe that kind of opens up that.
It is. Well, and to move forward, so at this point, Bruce Wayne now, thanks to the hard drive, knows where the kryptonite is.
Mm-hmm.
And he wants to get that. And in the story, my favorite storyline that goes nowhere, Lois Lane has her weird bullet from the African village, which somehow, like, an hour and 30 minutes into this movie, she turns over to, like...
The General of Man of Steel is now the Secretary of Defense, and he's, like doing her a favor because they're friends.
What are you doing? Like, how is this happening? I have notes there. I'm like, why is she just now turning this bullet over an hour and a half into this movie?
Mm-hmm. Well, I still think it's very unclear how much time has actually passed.
That's true.
I've kind of forgotten about the Middle East stuff by now, to tell you the truth.
No one else has, because they're still holding set of hearings about it.
There's more hearings coming.
It keeps coming back. It's this...
One more.
There's one more.
And then, okay, so now we get Batman, who knows where the kryptonite is. He just becomes a mass murderer.
And we get the bazooka scene from The Dark Knight in the tractor trailer.
Yeah, this is right out of The Dark Knight. He's chasing. So he finds where the white, what's it called?
The White Portuguese.
The White Portuguese.
It's the ship that the quote-unquote dirty bomb is on, but it's actually kryptonite.
He sees him loading into a truck, whatever, and he like shoots a homing device on the truck. Yeah. And then he starts chasing the truck through the city. But it's the scene from Dark Knight where he's chasing the truck. The door on the truck opens. Someone's got a bazooka. They're shooting at him.
So well, I don't think Batman in Dark Knight actually kills anyone the way he does in this movie.
He feels bad when people do get killed.
He's brutal.
Absolutely.
At least when Tim Burton's Batman did it, it was done kind of in a comic booky, like off-camera way.
Well, Batman,
here it's done very, like, brutally. And I killed you.
When he... Yeah. Hooks up that other car behind him and is literally
dragging it for three quarters
that car.
Yeah.
With people in it. Then slams into another car or something.
Yeah. There are people easily... Like, were they working for a bad guy as security? Sure. But easily 10 to 20 people died horrible deaths thanks to Batman.
And very, very easily innocent bystanders could have died as he's slamming this car around.
No. Yeah. That part of the city is vacant.
There's
no one there.
There is a part.
It's after 7 o'clock. No one's out.
Cleaning crew's there.
They don't try to catch up.
As I was taking notes on the car chase, I'm like, I'm writing down like, drives through a building, wait for it. Use his car as a giant pinball, wait for it. Rocket! And I'm like, yep.
Here's where he sees Superman.
Well, okay.
And very un-Superman-y, he threatens him.
What is happening here?
Now, I'm assuming, Chrissy, maybe you can tell us, but that there's some build-up to this.
Oh, no, there's not. Okay. Well, actually, as I'm looking back at my notes to just double-check the timeline, there kind of is.
Is there?
Okay. For Clark there to be so angry.
He just, at this point, he's just like, stop being Batman. And that's,
so, yeah, so this is...
Dead. Consider this mercy.
Yeah, this is...
Superman.
The guy that Batman... I think it's the guy from the beginning, but that's not entirely clear. But there is a guy with the Batman brand that goes into prison.
Yeah, I think it was the guy from the beginning, yeah.
Yeah, and he makes it clear that, you know, he's going to die in there because he's got this Bat brand. So Clark gets... It is shown quickly. The one part that is shown is the Polaroids that Clark gets. Oh, the Russian guy from the very beginning that was in the desert...
Mm-hmm.
Arranges for this guy to get shivved in prison. So guy gets shivved in prison. Clark gets the Polaroids of his dead body. Clark goes to investigate this guy's death. He goes to the jail, tries to find out what went on. No one will tell him anything. He then runs into this guy's wife and child. So the wife is saying, my husband didn't do anything. Batman's the reason he's dead now. And Clark is trying to be a journalist and, you know, trying to get her to talk about what happened. And she says, words won't stop him. Only a fist will stop this guy, and walks away.
But this is what makes me so crazy about this scene is Batman is chasing guys who are clearly bad guys. They're shooting, launching rockets, and all this. And Superman's like, hey, shut it down.
Only I can kill innocent bystanders.
And you're like, why is this? And then we go to like a Harry Potter level of lack of communication where Batman doesn't say to Superman, hey, that truck I'm trying to stop, it's full of a thing that will kill you, dude.
Because he wants... to kill him.
Because he wants to kill him for reasons that are, like, very vague and don't make sense either.
So as we're talking about, you know, Batman brutally killing all these bad guys seems excessive. Literally trying to kill, I mean, he wants to murder Superman.
Yes.
That whole, do you bleed, you will. Like, yeah. But he wants to brutally murder Superman.
Everyone's motivations are garbage in this. Superman's motivation for stopping Batman is ridiculous. Batman's motivation for just killing all these guys and not saying to Superman, like, the only point, and by the way, the only point Lex Luthor would have this kryptonite would be to do something to kill Superman. And
why
that should
Batman
make,
to do it?
That
which
should
he
make,
wants
and
to do.
Which Batman should be very suspicious of. Like, hey, wait a second, what's going on with this Lex Luthor? Batman seems to have no suspicion.
Bruce Wayne knows Lex personally as Bruce Wayne.
Yeah.
So yeah, you'd think that would make it easier.
Yeah, it doesn't. Bruce Wayne seems to be, even though he had to steal Lex Luthor's hard drive copy, he seems to have just have no concerns about this Lex Luthor character.
Basically,
Instead of investigating the evil plot.
They both want to kill each other because each one of them kills too many people, I guess. Like, Batman doesn't like that Superman kill all these people, and then Superman is like, Batman's killing all these people, so...
Yeah. Like, okay. Well, the movie works so hard to not have these characters have a 5-minute conversation where they'd be like, hey, what's really going on with you?
Yeah.
You know, it's like Harry Potter level, like, don't talk about things because our storyline will implode if two characters speak to each other and say what they know.
Yeah. Well, and it's funny because, so this whole scene is him trying to get the kryptonite, you know, in this Dark Knight scene. He fails, and then like two scenes later, he just gets it, but they don't show that scene.
Right. They show Lex smiling that he stole it.
Yeah, Lex Luthor walks into his complex and like, you know,
everything's on fire.
Yeah, everything. Yeah, there's like batarangs.
He rides a motorcycle in.
Everyone's beaten up, and the kryptonite's gone, and like there's a batarang there. And it's like, okay, that would have been a scene you could have shown, and it might have been cool.
He might have shown it.
You know, there's a Batman fight scene of him coming and beating up all these bad guys and getting the kryptonite.
Yeah, but that's less time for Senate hearings.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, why did you show that, I mean, that terrible chase, which we've seen, and not show, like, this, what would have been, you know, a cool Batman
fight? It makes no sense.
There's only, like, one real Batman fight.
Or why didn't Batman just get, originally say, because we see him launch the tracker, why didn't he just originally get it that way?
Right.
Why was he doing more deadly chase?
Or why doesn't Bruce Wayne buy the rock from Lex?
Dun, dun, dun.
Either that or, like, I don't
As
know.
As Bruce Wayne, hey, Lex, that looks like it could be valuable. I'll give you $60 million for that rock, you know? Oh, okay, Bruce, you can have my rock.
Because Lex apparently knows that Bruce Wayne is Batman.
That
would be right in with Lex's plan.
Exactly.
It appears,
His plan is to make Batman steal the kryptonite from him, I guess.
Before we wrap up part one, I just want to do a quick wrap up of, does anyone understand Lex Luthor's plan at this point?
No.
Is there a Lex Luthor? I'll even
destroy
put it like,
Superman.
Is there a Lex Luthor?
I thought
it
did at one point, and then he started creating a supervillain of his own, so I was like, why is he doing any of this?
I don't think there is a Lex Luthor plan.
They seem to imply that Lex is scared of Superman and wants to get him out of the way so that bad guys from outer space can come, like Darkseid can come. Like, why would Lex want that? Why would Lex know who Darkseid is? Because that's who they're trying to imply, right?
At this point in the movie, the big bad is Lex Luthor, but it is, other than killing Superman just to kill Superman, he doesn't gain anything except having fun,
I guess.
I think that's the reason they made him so like crazy. He's like, oh, he's just a crazy guy, and there's really no rhyme or reason to.
Well, they've had
so
him,
they can say that.
They've had him like sort of referencing God, false God.
Yeah, he keeps talking.
He's clearly jealous of Superman's power.
Yeah.
Let's take it from him.
All right, well, we'll come back in part two. Mm. We're going to get another great scene of Superman testifying to Congress. I think the second time on this podcast we've had a scene where Superman testifies at a government hearing. And the insane third act of Superman versus Batman, Dawn of Justice. Okay, for everyone here, we'll be back here very soon with part two of this episode. This is, by the way, our first two-part episode since Garbage Pail Kids, which is very exciting. Okay, we'll see everyone here next time. All right, bye.